Welcome to Pazzo's Podcast. I'm Josh, joined by Jason and Kevin.
Hey, hey.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. Yeah. It seems like it's been a long time since I've seen you guys.
It's been, what, 7 days?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Six.
6 days.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's right. I'll tell you what, guys. I miss you so much. I cry every night. It's hard to get to sleep.
Hey, there's the next song opening, Tear in My Beer.
There's a tear in my beer. There you go.
But guys, we're here back at our home, Pazzo's. It's so nice to be back here. I know that it was fun to go to the country fair, the Seton Country Fair, but, you know, this is our home. This is where we're comfortable. We got these beautiful couches, and now we have this wonderful banner that makes us official.
That is awesome. We're going to have to tweet that out.
Yeah. I mean, that means that we're doing something here, guys.
Yeah, somebody's listening to us.
Somebody.
Those poor folks. Both of you listeners, I appreciate both of you.
Stephen Wilson.
Yeah. Stephen Wilson, thank you so much for all of your interaction and everything. Yes. No, but, guys, we've got a lot to talk about today. A few things. You were talking about fruit beers. You were talking about Guinness going vegan or vegetarian.
Right.
And we got a few other things on the plate. So let's go ahead and just jump right in. Let's talk about Guinness.
Yeah. A story came out a couple of weeks ago that Guinness was going to go vegetarian. And that raised a lot of eyebrows. Everybody's like, wait, what? You mean they weren't vegetarian? Why are they putting meat in my beer? What kind of meat are they putting in there? How are they getting it in there? So I started hearing a lot of this question. People come in and order beer. They kind of want me to talk about that a little bit. And so I think if you're a home brewer or a professional brewer, you know, it's become such common knowledge what goes in a beer that you don't think about it too much anymore. But beer has a lot of stuff inside of it that causes it to be hazy unless you try to clarify it in some sort of way. And so there's a couple of things they've always known to be natural clarifiers for beer. Unfortunately, they are both involve meat product to a certain degree. Number one is gelatin. That gelatin seems to have a very strong negative charge, and most of the things in a beer through the process of the boil start to take on a very positive or negative charge, and so the things you put in there has a very positive charge, causes that magnetic attraction to happen, and they cling together, just like when you stack magnets on top of each other. So now it has weight, it falls out of solution. So it falls out of solution, the beer on top is clearer. And that's been a trick for brewers for a very long time. If you don't want to filter your beer, or, you know, filters sometimes can be very expensive. So if you don't want to buy those very expensive filtration systems, then you can use those natural clarifiers. Another one is called Enzing Glass. That's basically dried out fish bladder that's been ground into a powder. Again, it has a very strong charge. It collects a lot of those bits and pieces that remain soluble in the beer, and it falls out. Apparently what Guinness has done, they've used these techniques for a very long time. When you use those techniques, what ends up happening is when the stuff falls out of solution, it seems to leave more of the flavor intact behind it. Whereas if you use a mechanical filter and strip those things out of the beer, you seem to lose a little bit of flavor. And so that's the reason why some breweries have stuck with, whether it be Enzing Glass or gelatin, for a very long time. And but Guinness has recently said, okay, because there's so much attention being given to vegan lifestyles, vegetarian lifestyles, that we need to make that move so we can become a more transparent company, give our customers a little bit more what they're asking for so we don't have to dodge these questions or answer that question in such a way that makes people not want to buy our beer if they're doing it for those dietary reasons. So it's very interesting. But, you know, a lot of folks also think that, Why worry about clarifying your beer? Who cares if it has a little bit of a haze? Well, a lot of the stuff that's hazy is also responsible for some off flavors later on down the road. It can basically jeopardize the shelf life of the beer and cause the beer to go stale prematurely, or, you know, develop off flavors if they sit on the shelf any more than a couple of months, getting into 3 and 4 months. And so there's reasons other than just appearance of why you may want to clarify your beer. So Guinness is doing some alternative things there. I think it's probably a pretty good thing. I'm not necessarily vegan, so I don't really care how they clarify the beer. If some of the gelatin were to stay in the beer, or that Enzing Glass were to stay in the beer, has some sort of impact on flavor, I don't mind. But I know that's a big concern. Everybody's more in tune about their diet and what they're putting in their bodies, and that's a good thing. I'm glad they're asking the questions. It's probably a good move on Guinness's part.
For appearance, I don't know why they would care anyway.
It's a black beer.
It's not, you can't see through it.
Exactly, yeah. Interesting enough, if it's a black beer like Guinness, and if it's really, really clear, it takes on this onyx sheen. It just looks like a mirror, like onyx, the mineral. But if it's hazy, it has a tendency to look a little bit more muddy. It has a little bit more of a matte finish instead of that mirror finish. And so even though it's black, you can kind of still tell it has a little bit of haze. But you're right. It matters much less in a dark beer as it would in a light beer.
Yeah.
interesting stuff. What do you guys think? Is that, you guys care?
No, not at all.
No.
I love fish bladder.
More flesh, better.
More fish bladder, it makes it better. And see, gelatin, I love that too.
See, and all that stuff clumps together and falls out. You drink the beer. I want that stuff in the bottom.
Yeah.
Give me that stuff.
Yum. Scrambled
extra
eggs.
Fish bladder. It's like everybody talks about. It's like everybody talks about the gluten-free diet, and everybody wants to do less gluten, less gluten. I'm like, not me. Give me more gluten. I like gluten. I want extra gluten. Can I get that? Can I get that crust with extra gluten?
Yeah, I love it when you ask 80% of people that are gluten-free, if they know what gluten is, they have no clue whatsoever.
I mean, I don't know what gluten is, honestly, if you want to be technical. But I'm not gluten-free by any means, but I have no clue what it is.
Jason will know more about it maybe than I do, but I know it's a very complex protein that's found in grain. And so if you eat grain, then you're inherently eating some of that stuff. And some people's bodies just have a hard time digesting that, and it can cause a lot of other problems too. So.
It's only when you add liquid to that protein. And then when you work it. So, like, if I'm making pizza dough and I add the flour and the water together and then I work it for 2 minutes, I have not developed as much gluten as I would if I work it and knead it for 10 minutes. You get what I'm saying? So the more you work it, the more you're stretching those proteins.
Right.
And you're developing more and more gluten.
As I understand it, the gluten is important because it's what gives bread its pliability.
Yeah. Like if you get something that has a lot of chew to it, like pizza dough or a pretzel, like not your traditional hard, you know, pretzel, but like a
Bavarian
soft
pretzel,
Bavarian pretzel, or if you get sourdough bread, things like that, those have a much different consistency than say like cornbread. Because corn doesn't have gluten in it. So you get that cakey kind of texture to it. And then when you're baking, you also have different types of flour that have different levels of gluten. Like you have cake flour, which has a lower ratio of gluten. You have all-purpose flour, which is right there in the middle. And then you have bread flour, which is high gluten flour. Mm-hmm. So depending on the application, you're going to use a different type of flour.
I have a friend who actually was eating out recently. And his esophagus swelled shut, and he had to be rushed to the ER, and they found that he had a bunch of scarring on his esophagus. So right now, his doctor has him on a gluten-free diet for so many days to see if maybe that was part of it, or they're trying to figure out what allergy he has developed all of a sudden. Actually, it's been there for a while because he had the scarring in his esophagus, but he's trying to figure out what it is. He's a craft beer fan, so he's in hell right now,
My goodness,
so,
yeah.
Thoughts
and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Yeah. We're trying to hope that he can get through this. But, I mean, he was trying to explain it to me, and it was a little bit lost. That explanation, though, I can
I'm definitely kind of glad the subject came up because this is something that we talk about in the kitchen
all the time. Right.
Because
I'd say so.
The thing is, like, there is a disease called celiac disease where you are allergic to gluten. It's a legitimate allergy, and it causes very, very serious symptoms. But
it causes your body to attack its own immune system or something like
right.
that?
Right, and it's only 3% of the population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not much.
So the people that do have celiac disease and they ask for a gluten-free dish, it is extremely important for us to make sure that we're not contaminating their dish.
And we do the same thing at the beer trap because there's gluten-free beers out there now. Some folks coming in and asking for those. And, for instance, like we carry Estrella Domdora out of Spain. And it's pretty good lager, actually, and it's gluten-free, and you don't really miss the gluten in that kind of beer. But there's 7 parts per million gluten in that, according to whoever dictates this stuff. You can be under 20 parts per million and still be considered gluten-free. So if that person orders one beer, no big deal. Let's say he chugs that in 10 minutes, asks for another one. All right, now he's drinking 2 of these 7 parts per million beers very, very quickly. And let's say he goes 35 minutes down the road, orders another one. Now, within a short amount of time, he's drinking 3 of those, which puts him at 21, you know, not necessarily parts per million because of the dilution, but you're starting to add. So I actually, once that stuff starts to happen, I sort of remind them, I'm like, hey, if you do have this celiac issue, you may want to consider what you're putting in your body, just a reminder, because they don't necessarily say all that stuff on the label all the time. So even though it's gluten-free, technically, there is a little bit of gluten in there, but it shouldn't be able to bother anyone if you handle it in a moderate way.
And the other thing is, like, there are certain grains that don't have gluten in them. I mean, corn, rice, these type of things. But they're still processed in plants where other grains are processed. So it's one of those things where you may not be allergic to peanuts, but if those peanuts were processed in the same plant as pecans were and you're allergic to tree nuts, then you have a problem.
Right.
So, you know, you're never, like, they need to be really, really careful about where the grains are coming from, because you got to make sure that there is no contamination overall, because they might be running it through the same mill, or, right. you know, it might be in the same loading dock or warehouse or packaging. And, you know, those, anytime you have a dried product like that, there's going to be particles in the mm-hmm. air that are going to settle.
So, guys, we're back here at Pazzo's again. What are we drinking for pint night?
We are drinking the best wheat beer in the world. And if you notice, I didn't ask what the best wheat beer in the world is. I told you which is the best wheat beer in the world. This is Weinstephaner Hefeweiss beer. And just let it roll off the tongue. It comes so naturally. This brewery has been in existence basically since 400 AD. They've changed the recipe some throughout time to kind of keep up with current technology and trends and palate shifts and those sort of things. But this is a very good beer. This is the beer. The reason why I like this one so much is because it's not too sweet, not too dry. It has a nice creamy body, not full. It has great carbonation. It has a great lift to it on the palate. It gives this really pillowy texture. But it has a tremendous amount of complexity for what light body and its light flavor profile. The yeast that's responsible for fermenting this beer is responsible for most of its flavor. They call it a wheat beer, but usually it's about half wheat and half pilsner. But those two things make a very small mark on the beer whenever it compares to the yeast. Because when the yeast ferments these beers, it's going to produce a whole school family of flavors called esters. And when those esters are present above human threshold, they remind us of fruit flavors. On the flip side, the yeast also produce a whole lot of phenols or phenolic characteristics. When those are above threshold, then it reminds us of spicy flavors. And it's got almost a perfect blend of fruit and spice. On the fruit side, you've got that very prominent banana, but you also get some apple. Okay, you also get some other citrus like lemon and orange, so you get a lot of those flavors going on. On the flip side, you're going to get the spice flavors. You're going to get some vanilla, you're going to get some clove, and even some things that remind you slightly of bubblegum. When I say bubblegum, I'm talking like juicy fruit. You know, they actually use yeast extract to make juicy fruit taste like juicy fruit. So that's how strong that flavor can be. And so that's the reason why this beer is so good. It has a proper balance. When I say proper balance, that means that the fruit doesn't outweigh the spice, and the spice doesn't outweigh the fruit. They're in harmony, and they're all moderate across the board. This is a fantastic beer for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I just had it with the breakfast pizza that's brand new here at Pazzo's, and it has the eggs on there. It has the sausage. It has the bacon. It has the maple syrup. It has the American cheese. It's got the ham. It's basically diet food, obviously.
So what you're saying is I need a breakfast pizza, right?
You need
now.
A breakfast pizza. No kidding. And like I said, you don't have to be breakfast to eat this thing. It's fantastic.
But like you said, you will need a nap after.
That's right. But the thing I really like about that pizza, it has everything you ever want and the best breakfast possible, except for maybe something like an orange. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? The beer has that orange characteristic, has that citrus characteristic. And that's why the perfect pairing works, is because where that food has everything except for one ingredient, the beer will add that one ingredient. It has enough carbonation lift, really take the fats off the palate, and really make sure that each bite is just as plentiful and as fresh as the first. You get a lot of harmony. You get the vanilla in the beer that bounces off the maple syrup that they add to the top of that thing. And you get a lot of just contrasting flavors, a lot of complementary flavors, and the intensity of one doesn't really outdo the intensity of the other. So I think it's a pretty flawless combination.
This honestly is one of the better Hefeweizens that I've ever had.
It's the best you've
really
ever had.
It.
Like I said, we're not asking.
I'm digging it. Guys, we have reached the end of yet another Pazzo's podcast. It has
Incredible.
Been a lot of fun. It has been a lot of fun. And guess what? We're going to come back for another episode here in a little bit. This is actually episode 15.
Good Lord.
How crazy is that?
You're quick on the music, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You asked for it, I'm going to give it to you. But, guys, we've reached the end. We appreciate all the listeners, everybody who's tuned in, everybody who has subscribed to us on iTunes or Google Play, and everybody who has followed us on Twitter or Instagram. We have our wonderful sign up today, which is fantastic because it actually has our Twitter and Instagram on that. How fantastic is that? Yeah, we should sign it. That'd be pretty cool.
I think I have a Sharpie.
Get a black Sharpie over here and immediately just put our stamps on this.
I was going to sign it with beer.
Let's do that, too.
Or with blood.
Anyway, Pazzo's Podcast, thank you guys so much for listening. Check us out anywhere. We'll be back with episode 16.
and the night before.